Hey there, friends of Holy Shenanigans Podcast. I'm thrilled to share that I'll be recording live from the Wild Goose Festival this July 11 through 14. Wild Goose Festival is a transformational community grounded in faith-inspired social justice. It's a one-of-a-kind gathering that brings together activists, artists, and seekers from all walks of life to explore justice and art, spirituality, and community. The festival will take place at Van Hoy Farms in Union Grove, North Carolina, and I'd love for you to join me there. From engaging workshops to inspired panels and interactive experiences, Wild Goose has something for everyone. So mark your calendars and let's be part of this incredible community that is committed to making a positive impact in the world. For more information, visit www.wildgoosefestival.org. As one of my followers, use a discount code A-TLE24. That's A-TLE24. And you'll get $50 off the price of an adult weekend ticket. We will see you there at the Wild Goose Festival to connect, to build community, and to work for social justice. Friends of Holy Shenanigans Podcast, this is Tara Lamont Eastman, and I am here with my dear friend, Lyle Greiner. Lyle and I met years ago when I was serving in youth ministry, and we have stayed connected all through, I think, more years than we want to count.
Right, yes.
I am so glad, Lyle, to have you here. Lyle is about to release a new book into the world. And we'll talk more about that. But for folks that don't know you, Lyle, I thought we could start with a little bit of introduction, just with a simple question. What do you love about being you?
So I've been in youth ministry world forever. And I think the thing that has energized me most through the years is just watching youth discover things. I love those moments of aha, you know, where you can almost see the eyes open and it's like, oh, I never thought about things that way, or, you know, and oftentimes discover things about their faith, or that their faith is bigger or wider or deeper or different than they assumed. And so that gives me great joy.
It's such a gift to have that kind of encouragement, support. I remember in, I believe, one of your trainings that I went to, you talked about, you know, having caring adults that are walking alongside of young people. And I have to say, too, when I was young in youth ministry, you did a lot to encourage me as well.
Yeah. Well, that's always the hope.
When folks think about youth ministry, they may have an idea of what that is. Yeah. So that's one thing I was really excited for you to share today is, how do you define that?
So youth-led, but adult-partnered. But I think it's also parent-engaged. And I think those three things have to be part of what we call youth ministry these days. And so I'll talk about the youth-led part today.
So say more about youth-led, because sometimes I've heard the statement, children are the future of our church.
Yeah,
and
right.
I always feel like they should be the present of our church.
Yeah.
Or our spiritual communities.
They got to be the church right now. The book, Youth Are Either Leading or They're Leaving. And I've used that phrase for many years. And when I'm speaking, I've always noticed, you know, people start writing it down. I don't know anymore if I came up with it first, but I do think I get the award for saying it the most. But I think there's a lot of truth to that. Youth are either leading or they're leaving. So really the question is, how are they able to lead? The book really is a collection of all kinds of ways that churches have been inviting youth to step in and be a part of it. I think youth have to hear the words, we need you. Every youth, active or not, needs to hear those words, we need you, at least twice a year, if not more. So the challenge for a church is to say, where do we need youth? How do we equip youth? How do we allow youth, right? To enter in and be a part of the church in all kinds of ways. That might be youth group world, but not necessarily. I think a lot of churches are lamenting, especially after COVID, the changes and the challenges of getting back to, you know, everybody wants to get back to what used to be. And yet so oftentimes things have changed. But my observations through the years has been that if we ask heart to heart and honestly somebody to step in and help and do something, oh my gosh, kids want to do that. And they'll be there in all sorts of ways, in children's ministry, in worship, in committees, in speaking, and all kinds of fun extras that I discovered as I interviewed people and chatted with them. Izzy, a 10th grade girl, and she was quite willing to talk openly about dealing with depression and some of those harder things that she's gone through and counseling. And anyway, I watched her speak at a small youth gathering. And she just shared from her heart. I was watching from the sidelines. All these kids were just so attentive and their heads were just nodding. And I think for Izzy, it made a huge difference to be able to tell her story and be affirmed. We got to talk afterwards and just, you know, the gift that she gave other people to say, oh, me too. I thought I was the only one, maybe, you know, and those kinds of things. I think early on, one of the things I observed about kids being needed. I got to teach confirmation as a volunteer with my own kids at a church, small group, big church. And anyway, the kids were talking about worship and they were saying, worship is so boring, right? And I'm thinking like, but we're at the cool church, right? We have a disco ball hanging from the ceiling. We have some of the best musicians in the area. But then I started watching and listening kind of through their eyes a little bit and realize there's no illustrations about kids in the sermons. They're not in the prayers. The music is all professionally done. They have great dramas and things like that, but very seldom would a teenage kid ever appear in them. Anyway, about that same time, I am down in Florida and I meet Douglas, a 10th grade African-American young man, Episcopalian. I said, what keeps you energized about your faith? And he says to me, I'm a head acolyte. And he started telling me about working with some of the younger students, and he'd been to an acolyte convention of some kind, you know. But then he started telling me about helping with communion and watching people's eyes. And that was just this really holy moment of listening to him talk about watching people's faces and eyes and assisting in communion. I had those contrasting things, and it hit me really hard. It's like, oh my gosh. It's not necessarily about the program or how cool the worship is or anything. It's, are we needed? You know? And Douglas was hearing that message loud and clear that he was really important to his congregation. Yeah.
It reminds me, Lyle, when I was a kid, I grew up in a very, very, very small little church. And it was down this little road in a rural area, but there were lots of little kids that lived on this road. And they were trying to find a way to offer something for the kids in that neighborhood for Halloween. Yeah. And I have always loved Halloween. And as a kid, like I would think about what I was going to wear. I would carve my jack-o'-lantern very, very carefully. It was such a fun season for me. And sometimes in church world, there was a separation with Halloween and church, right? But in this case, the pastor was like, you know, wouldn't it be great for us to have a Halloween party for the kids in the neighborhood? And Tara, would you help us lead it? Will you help us plan it? But actually, we really would just want to give it to you and have you do it. Like, we need your help, is what he said to me.
Yeah.
And so from boiling spaghetti and leaving it in a bowl and making it kind of like the spooky spot, you know, with the grapes.
Yes. Yeah.
And actually renting a VHS player and playing like the very old Little Shop of Horrors in the sanctuary.
Okay.
Like, yes. I was like, wow, I'm needed.
And you were allowed to do that. You were welcome to do that.
I was encouraged. They're like, how big do you want this to go with this little budget?
Right.
You know, but that was really impactful to me.
As I talk to adults, especially those of us that have grown up working in the church, It is amazing if you ask that question, you know, how many of us think back to memories of our church saying, we need you.
Mm-hmm.
And just like that, those things come back. And that was important to you, right?
It was incredibly important. And it was because they didn't look at me as this weird kid that loved Halloween. They're like, oh, this kid loves Halloween. How can we use their gifts? How can we invite them to use their gifts and what they care about to love our neighbors?
Right. Yep.
Amazing.
My world has been peer ministry leadership. I'm the national director for that. And so there's nuances throughout the book. That peer ministry idea that kids are important and they are needed and loving every neighbor as ourself, right? I think that's the question that peer ministry strives to answer is how, you know, how do I love every neighbor? So the niche in the world for peer ministry is giving kids very specific skills on how to care, how to welcome, how to love and be a part of that. I tell kids all the time, I say, you guys are the front lines of ministry with your friends. You do far more ministry than those of us that do professional youth ministry, just because you know far more youth. And you know their joys, but you also know the great stresses and the sorrows, and you're the first ones to listen. So how do we help you do that better? I was talking with a little group of kids that had been doing some of this work, and I said, you know, how are you using these skills? What are you doing with them? And they all stared at me kind of blankly, you know, so I pushed a little bit more. And finally, this one little girl, she says, well, I don't think this counts, but Friday night, I went and hung out with a friend. I hadn't seen her for a while. Her parents are probably going to get a divorce. They're separated. And I just thought it would be good to go and hang out with her and be with her. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, put my arms up, you know, kind of, you know, like goal style. That counts. That's huge. That is ministry. And then one by one, all the participants that night, one little guy says, well, there's this kid in my math class nobody talks to, but I always try to talk to him. And they all had little things like that to share. Kind of leaving that group that night was like, oh my gosh, we have people doing ministry all the time. We've just forgot to tell them that it counts, to affirm them that God is not just in the God box building, right?
Yeah.
And they have all kinds of opportunities beyond.
Yeah. One of the huge motivations of this podcast is to encourage people to think about how God is active in their everyday lives and how God is inviting all of us into those actions of loving our neighbor. Yep. You know, thinking back to that experience of being invited to host a Halloween party.
Yes, love that.
Led me to some really deep relationships with people. I remember being connected to that community in such a way that there was an adult that had had a tragic loss in their family. A family member had died by suicide. And I had a loss of a sibling from a health issue. But I remember talking with this adult as a young person and just affirming that God loved their family member, that God loved them, and that they all were being held in God's embrace. Yeah. And as a young person, I didn't quite grasp the gravity of that statement, but the healing that was offered to that other adult,
right,
through the voice of a young person. I didn't quite understand that. And I really feel like all of those little examples are part of why I'm a pastor today.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
But also as a pastor, to stay grounded in everyday life. You know, to encourage other folks to think about how the Holy Spirit is at work in these acts of love and compassion. So important.
Yeah.
So important. Yeah.
So I say it's equipping, empowering, and then allowing. All those at that, but allowing is huge. People are real hesitant sometimes to turn over things. I talked with several churches that have completely turned their Sunday school over to teenage kids leading. And oh my gosh, the young kids are growing up just assuming that, of course, they're going to teach Sunday school and that they're needed. I had a kind of a cool discovery. It was actually from a Baptist school, Portland Academy, I think it was. And they had been working with some of their older kids in leadership kinds of things. And the kids decided they wanted to do they called it a wheat cafe. Now, in Peer Ministry, we use WEAT as kind of an acronym to of ways of getting to know people. But they had a house on campus, and so once a week, they served a meal. They would invite just a handful of other students, younger students, and they had a little menu, and they would serve and do things. But they always sat down, like in twos and threes, and just had intentional conversations. They were so excited. I see some of these younger kids now in the hallways, and they come up and give me a hug, you know, and they just talked about just how simple that was, making those connections. Well, now we've been challenging churches to do your own wheat cafe, maybe a Sunday school hour or something like that for older kids, or some of your kids doing it for older adults or something like that. But wheat is just some of those things we first talk about. Where are you from? You know, how long you lived there? You know, hobbies, interests is the H, and the E, events or experiences, and maybe similar church events, but just different. That's kind of wide open experience. A, acquaintances or commonalities. So, because so often we start talking and we go, oh, you know, so-and-so. And we start, comparing, and travel, T for travel. And it's just a beginning way, a tool that helps people so often just begin conversations. And
I have to tell you, when I am in situations where I'm like at a table with people I don't know, I go back to wheat.
One of the examples of equipping, giving some simple ways of engaging other people.
Years ago, I read the book Contemplative Youth Ministry, and there was an example of a church that was in a college town, and they didn't have a traditional youth ministry, as folks might understand it. But they started to do a clothing swap and meal once a month for the college students.
Nice.
They understood as empty nesters that they missed being around young people. And the young people needed a home cooked meal and they needed clothes. And so this was their youth ministry that they focused on during the school year.
Right?
Yep. Isn't that a beautiful thing? The older adults needed companionship and encouragement. The young people needed the wisdom of the older adults as well as a good meal, you know? And I think that that's a wonderful example of looking at youth ministry with fresh eyes.
Yeah. Kids go where there is meaning and purpose. We always kind of assume it's going to be where there's more fun or there's a bigger and better hayride or whatever it is. And churches use those strategies. And those are fun. I'm not against those. But when there's meaning and purpose, people show up.
Mm-hmm. I used peer ministry curriculum when I was a youth chaplain in a residential facility that was on lockdown. Yeah. And so that you had to be buzzed in and out. And I will never, ever forget, Lyle, going in and doing the story of the Good Samaritan.
No.
And you have a group of youth that have been moved around and have all sorts of circumstances in life outside of their control. But for them to be like, you tell the story in a way that is engaging, right? And then you invite them to act it out.
Yes.
And they were the most enthusiastic acting troupe I have ever seen. It was not hard at all for them to take that story off the page and be like, oh, yeah, well, this unit is mad at this unit about blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And we're kind of being like the people in this story.
Yeah. They start. Yep. You start recognizing
totally
it right
on their own.
Right.
Unpacked the parable.
Yeah.
And it was one of the most beautiful things I think I've ever seen.
Oh, love that. Yeah, kids making a difference. Rachel, a youth minister in the Minneapolis area, St. Paul area, I guess. And she shared with me the projects they did with their kids as they hopped on the little city train and they made stops all along the way and they interviewed different people. And so they talked about the environment and they talked about racial injustice and of course stopped at the George Floyd Memorial, and had great conversations with all these people, went back and they all made posters of concerns that they saw and they heard about and put those together. Well, then they decided that wouldn't that be fun to share with the mayor?
Wow.
So they went and they got an appointment with the mayor of Columbia Heights and sat down. And Rachel said this mayor was amazing because she just kept asking for information and their thoughts and their opinions. And so then the mayor had them put the posters up in the council chambers. Well, the council then decided that they needed a youth advisory board. And two or three of the youth that were on that trip ended up on that advisory board. And it was just a beautiful story, you know, of like, wow, you let kids speak and you let kids share, you know, some of their things. And sometimes things happen that you don't expect. And yeah, the other unexpected consequence was then the mayor came back to Rachel, this youth minister, and said, we need you on city council. I want you to run. So now she's on that too. So they got the youth. They got the youth minister of the church on the city council, which again, just opens up more and more doors. But I love that some adults were able to see like, wow, these voices are important. How do we empower them?
I just came off of preaching about mustard seeds and how little things make a big difference and how these little efforts of encouragement and affirmation of youth are incredibly powerful. I think that as folks may be listening to this as they're preparing for their fall kickoffs, their program years, maybe asking questions, you know, well, what are we going to do in regards to youth ministry?
Yeah.
But what if the conversations could start with those three things?
Right. Equipping, empowering, and allowing. Yeah. Yeah. When I say every kid needs to hear those words, we need you. There's intentional ways of going at that. And maybe small churches have it a lot easier because they know all their kids, and sometimes bigger churches don't. But so there's some intentionality of just knowing, like, what's your passion? What are you excited about? Oh, Halloween.
Yes.
Let's do something with that, right?
Right.
How cool is that? And I think back, I probably missed an opportunity one time doing a home visit and talking with a ninth grade boy who showed me just these incredible paper mache masks. And I think back, I should have figured out a way for him to use those, but found out years later, he was working for Spielberg doing things. But yeah, I wrote about that power of gift naming, of looking for kids' gifts, right? Seeing them and sometimes naming them for ourselves and asking that question, how do I plug this in? How do I plug the passion of that person in? And then I encourage the staff or the committee or who's ever thinking about this to bring at least two names every time to that group and say, what are ways that we say to this person, we haven't seen them for a while, we need you, you know, and very intentionally figuring out where we need people.
I think it's important for folks listening to understand that this may look different than what they experienced when they in youth group. It might not be a weekly group. It could be several different events throughout the year. It could be, oh, hey, we want to support another nonprofit, or we want to go help serve food at the soup kitchen, or any number of things. Or, hey, we would really like the youth to lead worship. This person's great at writing prayers or poems. Could you use that gift to help us write our prayers for that week? You know, and then could you lead us in them, right? Yeah. There's lots of different ways in these like micro ways scattered throughout the church year that,
like I said at the beginning, might include a youth group kind of setting. I call it youth-led ministry, and I have a chapter about that. But all the elements of ways that kids lead that. The last time I led a group for a year, I was proud in that a lot of nights I would go home and go, and I stood up and made an announcement at the end.
Yeah.
And because all the elements were broke down and all the kids knew how to do the elements, and it was just beautiful. But it's not always the youth group. I had a conversation with Rob Norris Weber, a pastor. He was reflecting on being a youth minister of, again, a fairly large church. And he was able to say, I had 97% of our high school kids involved this year. That's unheard of.
Right.
Yeah. Because again, it was probably 100 kids, you know, but he said it wasn't that they came every week. It was that a couple kids came and helped at the Advent festival and led crafts. Somebody plugged in with music here and somebody helped lead children's ministry there. And oh my gosh, I had this girl that liked to quilt, you know, so I got her to come a few times and sit with the quilters. But finding those passions and plugging them in. And I think that's a real win. We always want to say, well, you know, our youth group is this many or this many kids, but it's bigger than that. And like your Halloween story.
Yeah.
Kids remember.
Yeah, they do.
It sticks when they're needed And it does. When their passions are stuck in there. So,
and when you know what people love to do, which is why I asked you that very first question, what do you love about being you, Lyle? You know, that's such an important part of making those authentic connections with people.
Oh, I'm leafing through the book, but the quote was basically, real education is helping people discover what they love.
Mm.
And I thought, oh, that should be our theme for confirmation, for youth ministry, for church in general. That's our job, is helping people. Right.
Yeah. Helping people love where your deep joy meets the world's deep need.
Yeah.
That is where you are called.
Yeah. That intersection. I love that.
And that can be a Sunday morning. That can be a Monday at a school. It can be any number of places and ways. Lyle, where can people find your book?
Right. I was just going to say, we're excited. I'm going to just say, come to peerministry.org. Peerministry.org. And the announcements will be there probably within a week. I'm going to push people to book baby, and would love to have conversations if there's others that have networks that want to talk further about the book. Youth are either leading or they're leaving. I hope the book finds a place in churches. It's not just a read book, but it's kind of a read and do book.
Yep.
You're going to be challenged to think about, rethink some things. And so hopefully there's some elements that will find some places within congregations and in kids' lives. Thanks so much for, inviting
You're
me.
You're welcome. And now, Lyle, you are officially a Holy Shenanigator who is involved with things that are always sacred, but never stuffy.
Yay.
And to those who are listening, you can find Lyle's work at peerministry.org.
Yes.
And the book title again is Youth Are Either Leading or They're Leaving. And it's going to be coming out in August of 2023. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Lyle, for being here with us. Do you have a invocation or a blessing that you would like to share with our listeners?
I've been telling the story for a long time about sitting down with a fellow just got his counseling degree. I think he was 63 at Perkins, and food came. He says, do you want to know my restaurant prayer? And I said, sure, Bob, what's that? And he looks up and he winks, and that was it. And I just kind of chuckled, but I thought that's a really cool prayer, because sometimes that's just what's needed. So I'll say, dear God, blessings for Tara and for her work, and just for the kids and the lives, the places that, we get to say we need you to kids around us. Thanks, God. So wherever you are, look up, give a wink. There you go. Amen.
Amen. And we need you.
And we need you.
We need you. Until next time, be well, be at peace, and know that you are loved.